This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. This hour, the world as we find it, the daunting challenges of natural disasters, challenges in persistent conflict zones, and the economic struggles on a smaller scale of a monthly calendar that is a slave to the familiar paycheck-to-paycheck existence for so many American families. Listen.
This is Kevin Sutton from Dallas, Texas. My weakest weeks are the two middle weeks of the month. I'm self-employed, and so I get most of my pay and income toward the last week of the month. And by the time I've paid the first of the month bills, the rent, the utilities, and so forth, it makes weeks two and three of the month the most lean.
All this hour, we'll hear more check-to-check stories of how your monthly calendar is impacted by the rhythms of benefit checks or paychecks. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Calendars, maps, advanced planning, design thinking, and exploration this hour of the best laid plans and how they can have an impact even when the challenges seem so overwhelming. We're trying to hang on to the positive this hour. In the Philippines, in the aftermath of Typhoon Haiyan, America, the former colonial master, will bear the responsibility after the Philippine government in the relief effort. We're going to be talking about that. We're about 5 days out now. The first wave of humanitarian aid has finally begun to reach the worst-hit Tacloban. The calendar of distribution is starting to take shape while the clock ticks on how much the society in the Philippines will tolerate delay. Joining me is Bob Kitchen, International Rescue Committee's Director of Emergencies. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So is the frequency of distribution beginning to increase, and how much time pressure is there based on some of the reports of unrest that we're already hearing?
Well, there's huge pressure, not just because of the unrest, but because of the urgency that people have lost their income, they've lost the food stocks, their agricultural land has been decimated. So the pressure is on to distribute aid. We're getting there. The aid is reaching the major hubs. It's just very difficult to access the areas that have been hardest hit because roads have been washed away, bridges have been knocked out. There's no power, there's no communications. It really is a challenging place to work.
How do you set a priority? Is it getting aid into the worst affected areas or getting people out to where aid can be more equitably and effectively distributed?
Well, what we're seeing so far is numbers are moving every day. But so far, the UN is stating that 670,000 people have been displaced. The interesting number is there is only 55% of those have come out and are congregating in displacement centers. So that's nearly half of the people are staying on their own land close to their own homes. They want to rebuild. They just need help to enable that work. So the priority for us is to push out into communities where there's people who just need help to restart their lives. One of our biggest priorities is to look at safe water, safe sanitation, the risk of public health outbreaks such as cholera. As the time ticks by, that gains momentum.
And, appealing to people who are likely to, look into their food pantry or possibly send blankets to the Philippines, give us a realistic sense of what's actually needed in terms of personnel, in terms of, trucks, actual clean water. What is most urgent right now?
Most urgent. We appreciate the generosity of the American people. Money is what's needed. Philippines is a developed country. We have air assets coming into the area to lift food, to lift water filtration systems into the area. We just need money, in part just to get people back to work, to rebuild and clear debris and put money in their pockets so they can afford to buy food, to restart the market. That's the biggest priority. We understand people want to help. It's going to our website, rescue.org, donating money to other organizations as well. That's the best way people can help right now.
We're talking from Washington, D.C. with Bob Kitchen, International Rescue Committee's Director of Emergencies. You said something a moment ago that struck me, and that is that even though there are a number of displaced people, a small fraction of them are moving out of the most affected zone near Tacloban, and people are staying close to their homes and their land. Is that because they feel a certain level of insecurity, that the government can't protect their property and that if they walk away, they may lose everything?
I think it's a part of that. I think it's also just, you know, the human drive to restart life and get their lives back on track. They want to stay close to the homes. They want to start rebuilding, and they just need help to enable that effort. We, as an organization, the IRC has responded for the last 80 years to the world's worst conflict and natural disasters. We have experience in the region responding to the tsunami in 2004 and earthquakes in Indonesia in 2006. We saw a similar thing where people just didn't want to lose their homes, leave their homes. So we have to travel to them, give them tools, give them money, and work with them to rebuild.
Bob Kitchen, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Bob Kitchen is International Rescue Committee's Director of Emergencies. He spoke to us from Washington, D.C.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.